I need you to find a couple of scriptures this morning. The first one is found in 1 John 4:4 and Mark 11. 1 John 4:4 and Mark 11. 1 John is a little book just before the book of Revelation and then the Gospel of Mark. So two places of scripture this morning. 1 John, I want to talk about something that's been on my heart for a while. And I finally get a chance to preach it. You wouldn't know the what it's like to be a pastor or a preacher when the Lord gives you. I mean, somebody who might be close to it would be Joseph, who, when he sees a verse, he'll write two pages of stuff, and he could just preach and preach, and that's what the Lord does when you're spending time. You don't have to be a preacher; you can be just a memory verse leader like Joseph. And the Lord just teaches you something. You start writing and start writing. So Joseph probably understands the unusual feeling that you get when you get a thought and you can't preach it. And you have to wait and wait until the Lord says, now preach it. So now I'm getting a chance to preach this thought. First look in 1 John 4:4, a tremendous scripture that says this, ye are of God, little children, speaking to adults, but he says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Now the them is the whole world. That's a big word. Them being the world. Ye are of God, little children, overcome them. Because, watch these words, and I wish you would underline them, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I wish everyone knew that, and I wish everyone believed that. Go back to Mark 11. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That doesn't seem like it sometimes. It's hard to have a great faith and a great God when you've got a big enemy or a big problem. In Mark chapter 11, verse 22, Jesus compels us to passionately believe God. Look in chapter 11, verse 22. Jesus hearing, and Jesus answering, said unto them, hey, have faith in God. When Jesus was being followed by his disciples, I'm sure they thought they had faith. But Jesus looked at them, and how many times did he say, O ye of little faith? He says one time, he says, where is your faith? So he looks at them and he says, guys, believe God, amen? Now I want to talk about that. Because we're supposed to believe God. Joe, every child believes in God. It talks about there in Romans, it says, everyone who's born is given an awareness of the Almighty. They're given light and understanding that there is a God. And that's why it's easy for them to believe in little fairies. They believe in Santa Claus. They believe everything you tell them. I told you how I was with my dad. We went by the university, and next to the university was the ESB equivalent. It was, and he says, there's the power plant. And all of this water was coming down the sides of the power plant. Out of the outside, it was cooling water. But I thought, wow, what a big daisy. I don't know if you get it, but I thought a big plant producing power. I didn't understand. I was only about, 5 or 6 years old. But I believed him. He said, there's a plant that produces power. I would have believed him. Every child is given that ability to believe. Something happens along the way, though. Will we stop believing that God is there and that God is powerful and that He's right and that He's good and that He's in charge? I find that there are many people who claim to be Christians, but in their day-to-day faith, they are actually fatalists. they just, as you would say, this is the modern phrase, I'll just get on with it in life. They never pray. They never feel burdened to attempt to move the hearts of God. They get angry, and they basically stay angry in life. They get depressed, and they stay depressed. A fatalist is someone who thinks and believes that things don't change. You heard about? It goes with a Calvinist and a fatalist are very similar, because the fatalist, he trips down the stairs and falls all the way down. He says, I'm glad that's over with. he just figures, well, I guess it had to be. And there's no real awareness of the presence of God or the power of God in his life. And yet those are the same people that will believe the newspapers. They will believe the weathermen. That's a joke. They will believe the gossip
Oh, did you hear about...
And they will believe the doctors. Now, they are not all wrong, but let me tell you. Your doctor is not God. And that newspaper is 90% slanted lies. And the weathermen, they're all wrong. Amen. The Lord Jesus calls us to passionately believe God, that He is very much alive and that He is not far from any of us. Go to Acts chapter 17. Go to the right from Mark. Acts chapter 17. In verse 27. Acts 17. In verse 27. Paul is preaching to a large group of college students and professors on Mars Hill, which was the big debating ground of the day. And Acts chapter 17, verse 27. And he says, This is God's work in people's lives, that they should seek the Lord. God wants us to seek Him and to find Him. Watch what it says, that they should seek the Lord. If haply, if in their blindness, they might feel after Him. You can't see Him, but you can know He's there. Watch what He says. Though He be not far from every one of us. Now, isn't that precious? God is not way up in heaven, way away where you can't get a hold of Him. I can scream and yell and you might hear me 100 meters away. How does God hear me? The soft cry of a broken heart can be heard all the way in heaven. Isn't that wonderful? But thankfully, He's not all the way up there. As a matter of fact, the Bible says He is everywhere. He is right beside me. And since I've been born again, He lives inside me. Amen? But He's not far. And that's the great truth I want to really get through everybody's mind and heart this morning. So, the Lord Jesus calls us to passionately believe God. And by way of background, let me say this. Belief, when I talk about belief, it's a big word. It is what somebody knows to be true, even though they can't fully prove it. Now, a lot of people have this heart feeling, and they go, I know it's got to be there. And there's such a shade of difference between what you feel and your faith. And you need to be able to separate them. Because feelings come and go. Your faith should not. Amen? Your feelings are based on circumstances. Faith is based on God. Do you understand the difference? But they both, many times, feel the same in your heart. So it's hard to tell the difference. And many times we've let our heart take over instead of God's Word. So I want to talk about belief. It is something that you hold on to because you know it is holding you. Amen? Loads of people have loads of different beliefs. I won't. You know, some people actually believe in aliens, and I do too. They're all in government. Some people, they're probably 24-year-olds who really believe they deserve a job. Now, you should laugh. That's a joke. They believe that they deserve a job instead of going out there and getting it, amen? They think it's a right to have a job. That was a good joke. You should get these things. Listen, this thing called belief, if we had a faith meter, if I had a little thing that had a faith meter and I put it up to you, would it register anything above a zero? Amen? So far, all dead. This thing of belief, of something that you just cling to even though it's not there. People believe in loads of things. They believe that Cork is going to win the All-Ireland. I believe that. I hope that. Now that the big three have rejoined the team. Some people only believe, you know, it's going to rain, and they're probably right. their prophecy will come true most of the time. But when it comes to God, folks, listen. When it comes to God, we are no better than, listen to the word, the devils. They believe God and even tremble at the mention of His name. Every time Jesus met somebody who was demon-possessed and He interacted with them and He spoke to the demons, what did they say? Thou Son of God, have mercy on us! Don't cast us away! They're terrified of Him. They know He's real. They know who He is. They believe God. They believe in God. But you know what? They're no better for it. Amen? Some of your parents and grandparents, oh, they believed in God. They were in terror of God. But they died and went to hell. Because they had a belief like the devil's and not like a little child that just believes and lets it change them. And that is so heartbreakingly sad. And my challenge is for every Christian in this room to look at their lives, examine their belief. Do they believe God? Not just believe in God. You say there is one God, you do well. The devils also believe and tremble, James says. Just to be able to quote the catechism from start to finish would do you no good. To be able to quote the Apostles' Creed means nothing if you don't believe God. Not just in God. Look at Proverbs. Go to Proverbs, please. We have some scripture this morning. Middle of your Bible, precious book of Proverbs. Another word for belief is more than just hope, alright? I want to give you a good, it's actually two words that help us to understand the word belief. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 26. Proverbs 14 and verse 26 gives us two words that help us understand what belief is, okay? I hope it's not going to rain tomorrow. Ooh, can you imagine having strong confidence that it's not going to rain tomorrow? Watch your Bible. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 26. In the fear of the Lord is belief, is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge, not a fear. Belief is an unshakable grip on God. Amen? Strong confidence. It is not a fatalistic, well, whatever will be. How many of you remember Doris Day? Whatever will be, will be. You know, we're dating ourselves. We know we're in a different dispensation here. Que sera, sera. That is not a Christian's attitude. Now, one thing I want to say this. Our belief in God is one that believes no matter what happens, no matter where I am, no matter what I'm going through, God is doing right. And God is working all things together for good. And God is true. And God is protecting me. And bless God, He's changing me. And that's the outline. We're going to have some fun this morning. Let's bow in prayer. Father, thank You again for the opportunity to come before You. And I just want to pray. I want to believe You that You're going to work on us and encourage us. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I want my belief to be filled to the brim. I want the reasons why I have hope to be solidly founded upon a rock. I want my strong confidence to be stronger. Lord, don't let me or anyone out of this room go out of here without a challenge to their faith, and whether they are believing God, whether they're believing the newspapers, or whether they're believing their feelings, or whether they're believing their friends, if they would just believe God, we'd be unstoppable. Our lives would not be miserable. Oh, we may go through trial after trial, but we'd sing, bless us as we open the Word of God, open our hearts. Somebody in this room needs to be born again. Lord, if they're not sure where they're going to spend eternity, let them make sure today, through Jesus Christ, by faith in Him, by having a belief in His saving power. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Alright. Believe in God. Take your Bible and let's first go to a unique portion of Scripture. Two places. This is Matthew chapter 9 is where we're going to go. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9 verse 26. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 26 says this, And the fame hereof of Jesus went abroad into all the land. And when Jesus departed thence, He passed on, two blind men followed Him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us, do something for our situation. And when He was coming to the house, now here He's in Peter's house, as a matter of fact. Peter's wife is busy fixing dinner. Peter's mother-in-law is busy complaining. That was a joke. Then, I noticed He went quiet. And when he was coming to the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus, watch this, saith unto them, watch these, believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith be it unto you. Isn't that amazing? They knew they needed a miracle. They knew their situation was desperate. There wasn't a doctor who knew anything they could do for two blind men. They could have spent all their money. They could have gone around the world and go to all these clinics and gone through all of these procedures and wound it up worse. So when they met Jesus, he's the man. And when they got there, just like the woman who crawled through the crowd, and as she, with that issue of blood for 18 years, as she crawled through just to touch the hem of that garment, what is she doing? And what are those two men doing? They're believing God. They had nobody else to turn to, so all of it was on him. It was the greatest risk they ever took and the greatest payoff. And I am here to tell you, God is still a miracle-working God. What we want are miracles like, I won the lottery. Wrong miracle. We want the miracles that make our life easier. We want the miracles that put the pressure off. We want the miracles that don't make us change or don't make us get humble. We want the miracles that just benefit us instead of benefiting God. Now, if I were blind, I'd like to see. And I understand their desire. But God does not go around just healing blind people. He does it on occasion to prove he can do anything. But he'd rather heal your heart, which is the greater miracle in my book. Because it's easy for people to see with their eyes. It's another thing to get them to see with their faith. And most of us, we could have all the outward miracles that God could offer, and we'd be just as stubborn, and just as bitter, and just as hard-headed, and some people just as lost as ever. Amen? So, when he healed those two men, he tried to show that I can meet your need. I can do the miracle you need. I just need you to believe. You got a problem at home? You got a problem with the job? You got a problem with health? You got a problem with the future? You got a problem with the past? What do you need to do? Believe God for a miracle. You're going to have to start to believe God can do anything but fail. So, go to Mark now, chapter 9. Next book over, Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. Now, these verses are usually abused by some in the religious realm of saying that you can believe God for prosperity. And I want to say that's a lie out of the pit of hell. I'd like them to go preach that in Ethiopia. I'd like them to go preach that in Rwanda. I'd like them to go preach that to the penguins. Let them go waste their time there. Folks, this is not a blank check for you just to get what you want, like going into Smith's Toy Store. This verse is for you to get back to believing God can meet your situation. Take a look at Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, watch this, all things are possible to him that believe it. That verse is in context with a disastrous situation. Run back up to verse 14. When he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them. And the scribes questioned with them. Oh, sorry, I want to run it down. That's the wrong page. I just wanted to show you something. Verse 20. And they brought him... Okay, I'll keep going. Right, straightway, all the people, when they beheld Jesus, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. That didn't mean bring their... They just said hello. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, verse 17, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever the spirit, wherever he taketh my son, he teareth him. And he foweth, and he gnasheth with his teeth, and he pineth away. He's losing his weight. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. Look at Jesus. He answereth him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you, put up with you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit, this demon, tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. You ever notice, we were talking about it the other day. You know, demons, when they're in the presence of a Christian, they'll get angry. You ever watch, you try to read your Bible at work, you try to witness, and somebody gets furious.
You bring this demon-possessed boy to Jesus and he starts wallowing and throwing around on the ground. Light and darkness don't match, don't mix. Something has to change. Keep going.
Verse 21, and he asked his father, Jesus asks the boy's father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child, since he was a child. So at this point he's a teenager. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters, trying to drown him, suicide, to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. What is that father saying? He doesn't believe, he's just hoping. He says, if you're able to do something, would you try? That's not the way you approach Jesus. Jesus said, you have to believe. If you want me to do something, you're going to have to believe it. And it ought to be something big. It ought to be something that matters. We are so flippant about what we pray, and we never pray about the big things that are important. And you know the rest of the story, verse 24. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. He knows his unbelief is bigger than his belief. Amen. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more in him. The spirit cried and rent him sore. I believe that he really hurt himself and came out of him. And he was as one dead, inasmuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Folks, our disasters are not for us to give up. They are not for us to wallow in and to cry in, but to believe God through. Many a Christian has gotten very upset at God because God did not get them out of the situation when His will was for them to go through the situation. You know, the Red Sea is a great example of that. God intended for the children of Israel to go right through the Red Sea. But when they came to it, what did they say? I'm out of here. And they gave up. And the Lord says, tell them to shut up. Tell them to get in line. Raise your rod. Let me blow a little bit. We'll even dry and sweep the floor of the ocean so that when the women go across, they don't complain. Amen. And when they're walking along, it was a miracle of God. Do you understand? That God didn't want to deliver them from the pressure of Pharaoh and his army behind them, from the pressure of an impassable ocean ahead of them. It was, keep going, I'll get you through. Amen? We need to believe God once again for miracles. When we pray for Timothy, we need to believe that God is going to answer that prayer. But it's in God's will. Never forget, I'm not telling God what to do. I'm letting Him do what He sees best. But I need to believe He's going to do something. And I believe that He can do it. And you know what would be really a shame? Is if next week, Marlene comes in and says, Timothy's all better. They went in to remove the cancer and it had shrunk. And they just took care of it. He seems to be all better. And everybody to go, amen. Instead of, really? How is that possible? Wouldn't that be a shame? Wouldn't we be embarrassed? How little we believe God. I told you about the preacher who was invited to come to a Midwestern state in America back in the early 1900s. It had not rained in about 4 or 5 months, and it was turning into a dust bowl. All of the crops were wilting and dying, and he called for a preacher to come and preach about revival and to get the people right with God and to pray for rain. And he got in there, and he mounted the pulpit, and he looked up, and he says, I'm going home. There were 300 people there in the church. They were, what's wrong? And he says, you wanted me to come and help you get right with God and to pray for rain, and none of you brought an umbrella. That is so profound. Amen. What is your impossible situation? I mean, I'm not talking about something where you can see through it. I'm telling where there's something you can't see through it at all. It is a wall, and you know that it is impossible. Good. God is the author of doing the impossible. It is your opportunity to believe God instead of your own heart or your feelings or your knowledge. You know, the more educated people are, the harder it is for them to believe God. It bothers me. Most educated people in the world are in Sargentville Court, I fear. They get so educated they can't even go through a door.
Because they're imagining the speed of the earth is 1,000 miles an hour around this equator. It spins on the equator. And the earth is revolving around the earth, revolving around the sun at 56,000 miles an hour. And the sun is going around the center of the galaxy, the Milky Way, at about 118,000 miles an hour. And they're all in different organizations. I can't go through the door. My point is this. People get so where they have to figure it out. No, you don't. Thank God. Thank God that you don't have to figure it out. You just need to believe God. What this world is missing is seeing a bunch of Christians believe God for the impossible storms of life. Otherwise, Christian fatalism, well, whatever happens, it happens. Who cares? What can we do about it? It's the same as heathen fatalism. And I don't want to be either. Second point. You can believe God for salvation. Go to Acts 16. You know these verses, but it is great to review them. Just see them in context of this great thought. Acts 16, in verse 30, a Philippian jailer has gone to sleep during the preaching. As Paul and Silas have sang and testified to each other, they couldn't preach to anybody else, but they knew that the whole prison ward was listening to them give the gospel out and sing and praise God. And through it all, the Philippian jailer, he listens to it but doesn't believe it. Until an earthquake occurs and he realizes all of those pitiful men that he had tortured over the last few weeks were now free. Instead of him allowing them to get revenge on him, he says, I'll take my own life. Pulls out his sword and he's about ready to kill himself. I was trying to think of a joke, but I wasn't going to go that way because it wind up... Some people would have enjoyed it. But he was about to commit harakiri. You know? And he says, I'm going to kill myself. And Paul and Silas says, do thyself no harm. We're all here. We're not going anywhere. He couldn't believe it. How could they be still there? And notice, he sprang in. I want you to show the bit of hope he has here. Verse 29, then the Philippian jailer, he called for a light, grabs his torch, he sprang in. Look at what he does. He leaps into this jail. And he came trembling and he fell down before Paul and Silas and he brought them out and says, because listen, I want you to understand, that jail cell stunk. There were not only dead rats, there was excrement, there was urine, there was mold, there was things growing that no scientist has ever figured out what it was in there. And when the Philippian jailer went in, whoo, we got to get you out of here so I can talk to you. And he brought them out. And he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Isn't that sweet? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And thou shalt be saved and thy house. Go to another one. Go to chapter 13, still in Acts. Go back to chapter 13, verse 38. Be it known unto you, Acts 13, 38, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, through Jesus Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. I wonder how many. Let's read the next verse. And by him, all that, what's the next word? All that believe are pardoned. You see the word justified from how many things? From which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. Did you know the law of Moses? If you were a murderer, did you know there was no offering that could forgive you for murder? The law of Moses could not help a murderer. It could not help a rapist. It could not help a pedophile. It could not help an adulterer. But the blood of Jesus Christ can. Amen. It can wash away all sin. You need to believe God for salvation. Isaiah 45. Go back to Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45 and verse 22. Isaiah 45:22, God Almighty says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, not just the Jews, not just the Irish, not just the Western civilization, but every Thai, every Cambodian, every Indonesian, every I want to say Congolian, I don't know, from Congo, every Texan, everybody look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Go to Hebrews 7. You know there, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Wherefore, Jesus, He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God just by Him, seeing He, Jesus, ever liveth to make intercession for them. Who all can He save? Absolutely anybody. I don't care how far away you are, how low you've gone, how hard your heart is. I don't care how thick your head is. I don't care how messed up your body is. I don't care where you are. If you're on the cross, you can be saved next to Jesus. Amen? Isn't that sweet? You need to believe God for salvation. You need to believe Him. Not that I know people who say, I've done too much. I've gone too far. I've got too many things that have control of me. Jesus can take over. All you got to do is surrender. The sweetest word in the entire New Testament for the Christian is not victory. It is surrender. Because there is no victory without surrender. You know, it boils down to this. It boils down to believing that you're a sinner. That you have sinned against God and you can't help it. It boils down, secondly, to believing that you are therefore in trouble with God as a sinner. And that it is only a matter of time before you're caught and exposed. And punished for all eternity in hell because of all your sins. See, I don't have that many. You have enough. If you want more, we'll talk to your mother about it and find out how many more there are. Thirdly, it involves believing that God became a man and took the punishment for all your sins on Himself. You're going to have to believe that. You have to believe that God took your punishment on Himself. And fourthly, you're going to need to believe that He is now only waiting to hear you ask Him to save your soul from a devil's hell. Belief. Belief, belief, belief. There are no works. You say, well, I've got to get His attention. The moment you were conceived, you had His attention. The thoughts He's had towards you are only good. You believe that, and presto, a new Christian, a new born-again child of God is born. No formal prayer to Mary, no set prayer to a saint, no flippant prayer to God, just a cry for forgiveness from God, all because of Jesus Christ, and it works, guaranteed. Amen. You need to believe God for salvation. I did 26 years ago on the 15th of June, 1980. It works. You can believe God's Word. Look at Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, verse 25. Jesus is walking down an evening road with two disciples. And they're arguing over whether Jesus really rose from the dead. Whether it was even possible, and why was it necessary for Him to die? And they're having trouble trying to figure everything out. Verse 25, then Jesus is about to speak. Then He said to them, watch these words, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and entered into His glory? And beginning at Moses, that's Genesis, and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. What did He do? He went back to Genesis and He started to try and re-encourage them and say, guys, you need to just believe everything the Bible says. You picked and chose, you cherry-picked what you believe. And it's the most damning thing of this generation. Well, I like the New Testament. Well, I like the Beatitudes. Oh, I like the Psalms. And oh, I like the Proverbs. I like the whole book. Well, I take that back. There's some parts I don't like, but I believe them. Some of it is like a knife. It's like pain. Amen? But you know what? It's a two-edged knife. Because with every cut, the other side of the knife heals. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? Sharper than any scalpel any doctor's ever used is the Word of God. The problem with us is we just don't believe it. Some people find creation hard to believe, and yet they'll believe the scientists. Some people find the miracles in the Bible hard to believe, so they end up believing psychics and astrology. Isn't that weird? Some people find the cross hard to believe. Oh, why would he have to do that? I'll do fine. I'll get to heaven on my own works. And so they believe in their good works. Some people find the harsh passages and strong rebukes of the Bible hard to believe, so they end up with a totalitarian police state because no one accepts authority. I don't know if you got that last statement. The more you reject the authority of that Bible, and the more we as Christians put off the commandments of the Bible and their authority over our lives, the more this world ends up needing a totalitarian police state to keep people under control. We've got, in England, there are nearly 38,000 CCTV cameras running 24 hours a day to keep an eye on people. About 50 years ago, God was doing pretty good watching out for people and reminding them, I'll get you. I'll catch you. Your sin will find you out. But when you knock him out of the door, you need police to watch you and to keep you from doing wrong. Isn't that a strange thing? I just believe the Word. I believe the book says you'll reap what you sow. Your sin will find you out. Amen? I believe every part of the book. If you and I wanted to join the court team and show Sean Ogue how to play hurling, you know, sit down, Sean, I'll take over, you know. If you and I wanted to join the court hurling team, we would have to believe the entire rule book, follow me, and accept it as the standard for how the game is to be played. You agree with me? All right. Sorry, it's not rugby. We're talking hurling here, boy. The moment that we begin to cherry pick the portions that we want to believe out of the rule book, and we only obey those portions that we like, and we start to ignore the other parts of that rule book, is the moment we stop being on the team. Amen? Amen? And you can't do that with the Bible either. Jesus rebuked his disciples for not believing all that was in the Bible. If only we believe what God has written. Hey, I may not understand it all. I said this before. I may not understand it all, but I believe it. A seven-headed dragon? Have never seen it. But she's out there. He's out there flying around. He's not in this atmosphere. He's out in outer space. He's called the God of this world. He's the prince of the power of the air. And God calls him a seven-headed dragon. And when I see him with the eyes that God will give me in eternity, I'll be able to go, seven heads, just like he said. Amen. Amen. Someone asked a famous preacher about 80 years ago, he said, don't the things in the Bible that you don't understand scare you? And he replied, no ma'am, the things that I do understand scare me. I like that. Amen. You can believe God's commandments are right. You can believe that God's promises are true and that they never fail. You can believe that God's examples are the best. When you read in there about David, learn from them. When you read in there, like we're going to next week, this coming week about Solomon, I want to believe that they're the best example for our teenagers. I don't want to look through there and find people throughout the Bible and go, what do these people mean? They're my life. There may be the end result of my life if I don't follow God. They're the best examples. They are handpicked by God for you and me. I need to believe that book is complete. And it's just what I need. You can believe God's word from cover to cover. You know what it says there in Proverbs 35? The words of the Lord are pure words. They are true from the beginning. That's a good thing. I wish you got into this Bible and you just lived in it and loved it and just every word is pure. You pick up the newspaper and it's like filth. Amen? How many times have the newspaper gotten up, something happened one day, and then you read about it the next day and you go, it was not like that at all. You need to realize, that's the news. And it's wrong. That's the truth. And it's right. Believe your Bible, folks. You come to a verse in there that you just can't believe, try it. Go to Hebrews 11. Two more quick thoughts. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. This great chapter on belief, on faith. Look what he says. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him, please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. Notice there's a comma there. And that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now, what I hear God say in that verse is, you can actually believe God absolutely. What do I mean by that? Without reservations. The greatest challenge is not to believe in God. I can believe in airplanes. I can believe in automobiles. All right? I can believe in anything. But to believe God means to allow Him to be in charge. Watch this. To believe that He is not an incomplete sentence. It is a cute way of saying something. It is an awesome thing. Take your Bible, turn to Exodus. Go back to the left. Exodus. Remember. Genesis, Exodus. Remember, without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is. Comma. That's all it says. And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And He is. I'm going to give you a little English lesson here this morning. Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 13. 3:13. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and say unto them, now this is Moses at the burning bush, and God's trying to convince him to go down and bring people out of Egypt. And he says, When I go and I say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, What is his name? What am I going to say unto them? And God said unto Moses, watch these words, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Now watch these words. God's name is I am. He that cometh to God must believe that He is. He is. I am. The same thing. You're going to have to believe what Moses was being convinced to believe. That He's all you need. You see, what Moses was looking for was an army. What Moses was looking for were a bunch of miraculous powers in his grip to be able to destroy the Egyptian army. When God says, No, I'm going to help you make a rod turn into a snake. I'm going to be able to put have you put your hand into your clothes and pull it out and you'll be leprous. I'm going to allow you to turn water into blood. I'm going to do all that thing. But I'm not going to raise up an army. I'm not going to raise up an air force. I'm going to do it my way. And you have to trust me that I know what I'm doing. He that cometh to God must believe that He is. What does it mean? That He's in charge. Somebody works for a boss. You know what you need to believe? That He is boss. Amen? Amen? You have a need? You're going to have to believe that God will supply, that He is your supplier. Jesus 7 times says, I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the door. He said, I am 7 times. And then the final time He says it, they get ready to throw stones at Him. You know why? Because He says these last words. He says, before Abraham ever was, I am. That was powerful. They said, oh, he's thinking he's God. Yep. He didn't just think it. He is it. And if you're going to get saved, you're going to have to look at him and say, he's all I need. And I need to believe him absolutely. That means without reservation, without any fear, without any hesitation, you need to just believe he's all I need. Isn't that wonderful? I love the simplicity of Christianity. What do you believe, Craig? Jesus. Well, yeah, but what about this? What about the 300,000 that died in tsunami? I don't understand it all. I just know God is in control. Amen. And I'm glad that if I was in the tsunami, I'd be singing in heaven right now. Amen. 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 I just believe Him. You can believe God. Absolutely. If you're going through a hard time. No, sorry. If you're going to get through a tough time. It will be because of God's grace and help. No one else can help you like Jesus can. The devil may help you for a little while, but it will not last long. Go to Proverbs chapter 20. This is a great great verse. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 17. You say, well, look at so-and-so. They don't seem to be having trouble. You don't know what's going on behind the doors. You don't know what's behind that veneer. Look at Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 17. Bread of deceit is sweet to a man. What's he talking about? Stolen bread. Getting things by lying. Hey, it's sweet to a man, but afterward, his mouth shall be filled with... Oh, I think that's so cool. Yeah. You took advantage of something, and you lied about it, and you seem to get ahead, and everybody else is still behind you, and you're starting to enjoy the fruits of your lies, and it turns to gravel. I think that's great. It's a spiritual law. You know what? The devil may help you through some of your troubles, but it wears out real quick. The pleasures of sin are only for a season. You want to get through your trial? You want to get through so you don't have to go through it again? You better get God. And believe God absolutely. Oh, that our lives showed forth our belief through praises in prison cells, through singing in our sorrows, through obedience even though we're the only one obeying, through love and worship when nothing makes sense. That's how you show your belief in God. Folks, we can believe God. He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. I cannot fail. There are five things that God cannot do, and one of them is, He cannot fail. You can believe God absolutely here. You can believe God without seeing. Go to John 20. John 20. John chapter 20 and verse 29. John 20 and 29. Thomas finally gets his faith right. Thomas, the doubter, has not believed that Jesus is resurrected. He missed out on a Sunday night church service. And Jesus had showed up. And the disciple says, He's alive! And Thomas says, until I put my finger in His hand and my hand in His side, I will not believe. You remember that? You know, the attitudes of people who are in church on Sunday night and the attitudes of people who miss church on Sunday night are miles apart. Because those people who make the extra effort to gather, because it was an evening meeting, when they gathered together, the doors were shut, they lived in terror, yes, but Jesus comes right through the door and says, peace be unto you. They had a time. Oh, Thomas, he missed it all. Well, they convinced him to come the next Sunday night. And look at your Bible, John chapter 20, verse 29. Well, verse 28, and Thomas answered and said to him, My Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, Hey, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Good. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed. Folks, that's me. I can't put my hand in his side. I can't feel the scars on his brow. I cannot check his feet to find the piercings of those nails. I cannot check and see where the scars are on his chest. But having not seen, I still love him. Amen? You know what? If you believe God, you'll believe him without seeing. You know, Abraham did. God said, Abraham, you see all those stars? Count them all. 2 hours later, you finished yet? And a lot of them, Lord. All right, just get the idea. Abraham, as many stars as there are out there, and you haven't counted them all yet at all, I'm going to give you children. You know what? He hadn't seen one child. You know what he decided? All of a sudden, he didn't get a child. He didn't go to Four Home and go, look what I got, honey. Four Home. Should be able to pick up a kid? No. He had nothing in his hand. All he had was, I see it, God. I don't have to see it to believe it. If your faith to believe in God, I want you to know that you can believe it without seeing. Well, I haven't seen so-and-so saved. I don't know how it's going to happen. That's how we usually talk. And God says, add to that, but I believe it's going to happen. Amen? Would you do that? Would you quit going, oh, they'll never get saved. Oh, they're never going to get right. Oh, I'll never be able to fix it. Oh, it'll never work out. Add to it. But I believe it will. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to humble myself more. And I'm going to be surprised. Amen. You can believe God, folks, without seeing. If you're constantly waiting for a sign up in heaven, I will pay your bills. If you're waiting for that sign to happen, Jesus said this, you're an evil and adulterous generation. That was rough. Amen. The biggest sign you need to see that God would take care of you is His Son down on the cross. That's enough for me. Amen. You can believe without seeing. Abraham believed it. Sarah finally believed it. Joshua marching around some walls. The people on the top of the walls of Jericho were laughing at them, spitting at them, throwing rocks at them. And as they walked around those walls, they were quiet for 6 days. But on the seventh day, they went around those walls 7 times. It made the people in the city very dizzy. And as they went around that thing after the last time, as they crossed the last stone and marked the beginning of their walk, they then turned towards those walls and went, "Woo!" And they yelled and the trumpets blew and the crumbling of those walls was so thrilling. Isn't that cool? You know what got them to march? They just believed without seeing. God said it. That settles it. Amen? You can believe without seeing. You need to get to that part. You don't need to see 500 people here before you go, "Hey, maybe we got a revival." Just 50? Just 20? Just 3 of us can have revival. Amen? I don't have to see to believe. Last. You can believe God's work. I think it's the last. Philippians 1:6. Yes, it is. Philippians 1:6. 4 scriptures here I want to look at real quick. Philippians 1:6. When you found Philippians, go back. Go to 1 Thessalonians 5. We'll do them similar. Right next to each other. Philippians 1:6. And 1 Thessalonians 5. Right before Timothy. Just a few pages to the right. 1 Thessalonians 5. Philippians 1:6. Look at this verse. Your Bible says this. Being confident, look at that word, being believing of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's going to finish the job. Go to 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Water won't do it. A church building won't do it. A priest won't do it. Look what it says. The God of peace, He'll do it. And the very God of peace sanctify you, make you a saint, completely, wholly, A-W-H-O-L-L-Y. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, how am I going to get blameless? Celine, how do we get right? And how do we get blameless and get things fixed? Look at the next verse. Faithful is He that calleth you, who tells you to do something, who also will do it. You can believe God will do the work. Can you imagine taking your car to the garage? And as you pull up, He says, sounds like your transmission. Sounds like we need to change the clutch plate out and remove the some of the mechanisms there and tighten up this, whatever. So get in there and do it. I brought it to you. I know, but I'm busy. You'd find another garage, amen? Wouldn't you? God does not tell you to do what you can't do. Now, some things He tells you what you should do. But you know what? I found out a long time ago, I can't do anything. Can't do it right. So I walk in the Spirit. So I pray without ceasing. So I try to get filled with the Spirit. I constantly try to get help because I know His work is much better than mine. And you can trust His work. Go to Psalm 138. Go back to the left psalm, and then with your right hand, go ahead and get 1 Peter. 1 Peter 5 and Psalm 138. Psalm 138. Stay with me, we are just about through. Psalm 138 and verse 8. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. And you know what? There's a lot that concerns me. That was a joke. About me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Aren't you glad? Forsake not the works of thine own hands. Can you imagine if somebody was a wood carver and he was working on little army and soldiers, and he was working away creating this great battlefield and laying it out and molding and shaping the hills and the rivers and stuff. And you're going, ooh, I can't wait till you're finished. Here's the point. When God begins something in you, just let Him finish. Trust. You can believe God. He's doing something cool in your life. We think, God, you're killing me. No, He's not. The devil is, but He's not. Look at 1 Peter 5:10. But the God of all grace, 1 Peter 5:10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory, that's heaven, by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while. Ooh, I don't like that part. Look what it says. Make you perfect. Establish, strengthen, settle you. We need to really believe that He's doing something in our lives. You know what the Bible says? Let this mind be in you. You know what that means? I wish I could give you an illustration. But say, John, go out there for a second. Go run, 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 run. You're not running. All right. Now, John, I want you to try to get in here. Now watch. I'm the Christian. You get preaching. You're reading your Bible. You're with other Christians. You know what God's trying to do? Get the mind of Christ in you. John's the mind of Christ here for a minute. What am I not doing? Come on, John, try it again. You wimp. Come on. Don't break the door. Let this mind, stay out there. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What is God trying to do? He's trying to give me the mind of Christ. Who's stopping Him? I am. I am. I stop Him. The devil may try to get in there and say, don't listen, don't do it. But I'm the one who chooses whether to let the mind of Christ take over my mind or whether I stay in control. Do you understand? He says, not only let this mind be in you, He says, let patience have her perfect work. I'm here, I'm the Christian. Where'd John go? Stay there. And patience tries to have a work in me. Come on, John. And I'm not going to let Him. Amen? Until I hear a message like this where I realize I've been stopping God's work. Let patience have her perfect work. Isn't that wonderful? One more thought. It was. Let brotherly love continue. Every one of these, I'm quoting from the Bible. It doesn't say love one another only. It says let brotherly love continue. You see, I fell in love with the Christian brethren. I like John. I love him. But I don't want to love him today. Try to get in there. Brother, love's trying to get into my heart, but I say, no, not today. Come on in now. Do you understand? It's not complicated. It's not that you have to become a rocket scientist to learn to let God work on you. You just got to let Him. You don't have to work up, well, I got to figure a way to love Richard. Oh, this is hard. Ooh. Oh, I need to read 15 books on child psychology. No. No. Let brother love. God will give you the love to love Richard. God will give you the love to love Marlene. God will give you the love to love anybody if you'll let Him. Amen? Let Him work. Believe God enough to let Him work. When I had my appendix out, I told you the story, and I think it's one of the greatest illustrations of fear in my life. When I laid down on that table, and in comes this 24-year-old doctor. I thought he was a baby. And he's coming in. He says, Mr. Ledbetter, I understand you have a perforated, and then he gives all these things. I said, what's that? Your appendix. And he says, I'm the doctor. And I says, come here. And I grabbed him by the tie. Literally, I said, how old are you? He says, I'm 24. How many of these have you done? Not enough. I said, give me a number. He says, I'm okay. It's 2:30 in the morning. You're going to have to trust that I can do this. I said, I don't trust you. He was a baby. I bet he wasn't out of nappy yet. And I'm looking at this guy, and he says, sign this. In case you die, you won't sue me. The whole thing, I'm sitting there laying down. They're putting the mask on me. I'm saying, breathe easy. My point, I had to let go. I had to let that doctor do his work. Amen? Seemed to be okay, amen? Seemed to do all right. Amen? my God needs to be allowed to work on you. Maybe he's humbling us. Maybe day after day you just feel like, go ahead. It's a perfect work. Amen. You guys have to believe God. I don't know about you, but I love the song, "He's Still Working on Me." Quit giving up. Quit thinking God has stopped working on you and on others and has gone on holiday. I was talking to Celine. Thankfully, God doesn't, we need holidays. God doesn't, amen? The big thing to believe that God is doing His best as He works on you. Don't worry about what He's doing on others. He is molding, He's shaping. Let the potter work and just yield to His hands. There's a great Isaiah 61, we won't go there, but it says, "I'll take your ashes and I'll replace it with beauty. I'll take your defeat and I'll make it a victory." But you're going to have to let Him work. Big word. Belief. It's what you know to be true, even though you can't fully prove it. You can't sit there and list all the things. There's proofs, but there's doubts, and there's not sures, but there's a belief. And you hold on to it firmly because you know it's holding you. But when it comes to God, we are no better than the devils. Because we believe too easily in God, but we don't believe God. There's a night and day difference between the two. Our belief in God needs to be a strong confidence that is unshakable. And it's great to be in church. Amen? We get around and it's easy to believe God. Amen? Woo! I'm praying for so-and-so. I know they're going to get saved. You get at home, well, the world's going to hell. And I'm going to help them. Amen? There are places where it's hard. Our belief needs to be a strong confidence. We've got to look at whether we're just fatalistic or full of faith. Where we believe no matter what happens, no matter where we are, no matter what we're going through, God is doing right. He's working all things together for good. He is always true and protecting me and changing me. The question is, are you letting Him? Acts 17, don't go there. Paul is on a ship sinking in the middle of a storm. And everybody's giving up and crying and figuring that all is lost. And Paul stands up and says, "Guys, it's going to be all right." How do you know? "Because I believe God." Whew, man. Something He had, I want. Amen? Something we need. Our faith can be so much stronger than all our fears. Will you stand with me now? And bow every head bowed. Let's all stand. I'm going to challenge you to start believing God with your whole heart today. A message like this is going to result in so many of you starting to pray throughout your day about everything. If you believe in fatalism, you won't pray at all. Did you get that? Tomorrow, if you go day all day long without praying, do you know what you believe? Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. Whatever comes, it just comes. It's my lot in life. That's fatalism. That is not a Christian. If this message has any effect on you, tomorrow morning you're going to wake up and you're going to start praying through everything you go through. It was going to result in a load of you opening your mouths and testifying what Jesus can do for others and believing that God is going to save them and save their families. It will result in a bunch of you coming out now on Wednesday evenings for prayer meeting, realizing that's where the power is in a church. I love preaching. And it's the power of God unto salvation. But there's no power in preaching until there's been power in prayer. And a message like this ought to result in a bunch of us apologizing to God for the sin of thinking, apologizing to God for your sins, thinking you were trapped in your sins and you couldn't help it. When God says, that's right, but He can. Some of you need to get rid of your anger and your bitterness and start believing God can change you and your world around you. Believe God. Father, I've done my best now. It's that miracle time where the Holy Spirit brings us to our knees and brings us to a place where we admit and humbly break and say, we needed this. Our faith is very small. About so many things. We know we can believe You. We just need to get the practice of it. Revitalize our faith. Oh, revive our hearts. Give us strong confidence in You. And for somebody in this room, maybe somebody's who's living the lie of religion, living the lie of good works, trying their best, thinking that you'll understand at the end of the day. Let them realize you do understand. That's why you became a man and was severely, cruelly beaten and tortured and crucified at the hands of sinners to be the Lamb of God to take away our sin. Our good works cannot remove our sin. Only an innocent, perfect sacrifice could. And if anybody's trusting in anything, any church, any prayer, any work other than Jesus, they're lost. If they would just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, asking Him to save them, knowing that His mercy is everlasting. It never runs dry. It's enough to save anybody. Let them get saved today as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Grab your hymnal, please.